Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Tune in every Fridays and Saturdays from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Guest call-in number is area code 657-383-1630. Welcome to Indigenous Voices of Women from across Turtle Island. Today is Saturday, February 26, 2022. My name is Bernice Seminole, and I am Northern Arapaho. Hear the rise of Indigenous women's voices, individually and collectively, and what matters to us. And nobody is calling in at the moment. I don't know where everybody is at, but we're going to try to do the best that I can for the moment till somebody calls in. Welcome, Grandma Jenny. Jenny?
Yeah, I could hear you now. I have my phone on mute.
Oh, okay. So we have you and another caller. Hold on. Nicole, are you there? Nicole? Nicole? Okay, Jenny, so while we're waiting for other callers, I know there were some ladies that were on last night that were talking about MMIW issues, and they wanted to come back on today, and so I see a lady calling from Wyoming that probably will want to talk about, you know, what's going on with her two missing and murdered daughters. So if you want to say something, Jenny, go ahead.
Yeah, kind of clear my voice. Like we were talking about the missing, murder, Indigenous women. What is it? Missing, Indigenous men, children, people, or what? You know.
Mm-hmm.
It's really become, you know, a bad, like, it's bad. It's not good. We can't just let it keep happening over and over and over and expecting the government to stop it for us, because they're not. Our own people are doing it. Our people become so into it, living with it, you know, and thinking that, you know, they just got to go somewhere and be forgiven, you know, or, you know, when they die, they're going to be forgiven or something, you know. It's just, that's not it. We got to look at it in a whole different way as Indigenous peoples, women, men, young people. We talk about our children. We talk about our traditions. We talk about all that stuff that, you know, was given to us. It makes you wonder, well, why ain't it working, you know? Why was this in treaties, and why were all these things written, you know? And white men government systems only supposed to be, or are supposedly guardians if they act like, you know, but they're not. That's how we're civilized. And I think our people are over-civilized now today, because they don't even know who the hell they are anymore. So a lot of it, our people are afraid to speak out about it. They lose their homes, jobs. Their families will get targeted and what, you know. Why is it like that? Why, amongst their own people, why is it like that? Well, yeah, the missing, murdered Indigenous women, men, children, people, you know, it's real. And that's what we got to look at, you know. How do we protect our women, or how do we protect our children? How do we stop them from doing this to us, you know? That's why the younger generations, I feel, are lost because of it. You know, they get mixed messages, you know, traditional, and other people talk Christianity and all that to them. So they're confused. They don't know, you know. And that's what's sad about it. So then they'll go into start drinking and drugging and everything because they don't know who they really are, where they really actually came from and what. They don't have that. You don't have nobody to help them with that. So they look out to the social media today for attention, you know. But yeah.
So we have two new callers on area code 360. Could you come on and say your name and your tribe?
Oh, it's Maury from the spa. I'm just calling to listen.
Welcome, Maury. And area code 505, could you come on and say your name?
It's Ursula from Pine Ridge in Santa Fe. Hello.
So we're still talking about MMIW.
Okay, I asked Maury if he would do our opening prayer for us, so if he can.
Okay, that's fine.
Dear Creator, I ask you to watch over the world today that's going in chaos. You know, the war going on across overseas is going to affect everybody around the world. And gas prices, food, and everything. I ask you to protect us, protect our women, our children, protect our soldiers, our native soldiers, our native warriors that are overseas to be really hectic. For today, oh.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mossy.
Well, yeah, those are reality words, huh?
So we have another caller.
I wanted to say.
Area code 971, could you come on and say your name, please?
Oh, this is Mark Blackcrow from, I'm in Oregon. My tribe is you people. You make my tribe. I don't like saying what tribe and stuff. I mean, I know it's important, but I still feel like that's how white people see it. I don't know. But, yeah, I was just calling in. I wanted to share some things, but for right now I'm just going to listen, and not unless you want me to share right now.
Yeah, share with us, Mark.
Well, Grandma Jenny's my mom, and she asked me if I could share my story, my experience. And it's very hard for me because I've suffered a lot through the white man's system and the racial stuff. So I feel like maybe I should share. Maybe there's other of us out there who've gone through the same things or can relate to the things that I've gone through. But when I was five, my mom moved to Oregon. And I ran away. I was abused, you know, mentally abused. When I went to school, I was abused, told I was a girl because I had long hair, got locked out of the bathroom, had to, you know, pee and poop on myself because I wasn't allowed in the bathroom. And then told I was retarded because, you know, I spoke a broken English. And then being segregated from the other kids because I'm the only dark-skinned native kid, you know, from elementary school all the way up to middle school, I was abused physically, mentally, verbally, spiritually. I went through a lot of stuff going through the white man's school. I learned a lot of bad habits from the white man's school, you know. It's just education. Everybody talks education, education, education. Well, education is not intelligent. intelligence is universal. You don't need to go to school to be smart. You go to school to learn what they want you to learn. And what they taught me was I'm better than them. I'm smarter than them. I'm faster than them. I'm tougher than them. Taught me what segregation really is. School did that to me. So my experience, I went through a lot of stuff. I was the only Native kid that went to school. I went through a lot of racial stuff. Every race on this planet fought every race. I'm not exaggerating. I fought every race, white people, black people, Mexican people, Russians, Germans, Europeans, French, Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Vietnamese, Hawaiian. The only thing that I was taught was that I'm the enemy. School taught me so many bad habits. And for a long time, growing up, I tried to fit in. I tried to educate myself and what they thought education was by pronouncing big words, using big words, walking, dressing. That got me nowhere. It got me nowhere. And for a long time, I hated everybody. Everybody I hated because everybody showed me through the white man's education, you know, this is how it is. This is how they want me to be. They want me to be angry. They want me to be mad. They don't accept me because, you know, I've got long hair, I'm dark skin, and to me, talking reality instead of about the money is more important to me. I went through a lot of stuff, and here I'm 37 years old, and I still face and still suffer from all that stuff I was from the white man's system, from their education, foster care, all of it. The entire system is not here to only here to suppress us. I hear a lot of people talking about they want things to go back to normal before COVID. I don't want things to go back before COVID because I remember people were being raped, molested, killings, drug abuse, stealing land, and people really honestly want to go back to that. I'm hoping that through all of this, it unites us and it wakes us up. We don't want to go back. Who wants to go back to that? Not me. I know you people don't want to go back to that in the listening audience. Who really honestly wants to go back to what the white man calls normal? That's not normal. I mean, it's normal if you're a white man, a white woman. Yeah, that's a good life. It's a great life if you're white. But if you're not white, me, long, beautiful hair like me, you don't want to go back to that. I mean, look what the white people have done to our people. I'll give you a good example. Look what they have done to our African brothers and sisters. Stole them, enslaved them to where they don't know anything more but being white. Sad. It's sad. And it hurts my heart when I hear my own people, the Native people, talking about they want it to go back to normal. Explain to me how it was normal. How before this was normal. I still see people running around, going to the stores, consuming products, indulging in destruction. They still go to school to be educated. But what are they getting educated about? I'm an uneducated person, and I make really, really work. But that's all I got to say at this moment.
Thank you, Mark. We have another caller online, area code 306. Your last four digits are 8483. Could you come online and say your name?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello, my name is Earth Feather Sovereign. I live here in Washington State. I am an advocate and founder of Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women Washington.
Welcome to the
I'm a Caldwell tribal member. My mother is Deanna Marcelli. My father is Ernest Clark.
So yesterday we were talking about MMIW issues, and we had two ladies that came online from Wyoming from the Wind River Reservation, and I got into a discussion last night with somebody, and I think it's really important because the women, if we're a target and we're missing or we're murdered, the bloodline stops there. And you know, it's us women that carry bundles, or we have some kind of knowledge that's going to help mankind. So that's kind of what we were talking about last night and why MMIW is so important. So what kind of issues do you face in your community? Could you tell us?
Well, here in Washington State, like Abigail Echohawk, she lives in Washington State. She did a wonderful report on missing and murdered indigenous women and girls, where she contacted, you know, like urban Indian health organizations all over the United States. And what she discovered is that Washington State has the second highest number of missing and murdered indigenous women and girls. And in the Seattle area, the highest number of missing and murdered indigenous women and girls. And our organization, we are an organization through the state. We don't have our 501c3 yet, but, you know, we've been just trying to generate donations and such for to help, you know, families who have, you know, a little to no money to help look for their loved ones, as well as resources. We also been working with legislation here. I've been working with Gina Mossbrooker. She's a legislative representative over by Yakima, and we passed two bills. The first bill was a bill to do an inquiry here in Washington State, and they were ordered the State Patrol, along with the Governor's Office of Indian Affairs with the state, to go to reservations or work with urban Indian organizations to try to see, you know, what exactly the issues are. And, you know, the biggest tribe here in Washington State is the Yakima Reservation, and they've been working very closely with them because I think they have like the fourth highest rate amongst the reservations here in the United States, that has, you know, the highest number of missing and murdered indigenous people. And so with that, we didn't want to wait another year for the State Patrol to make a report about it. So we put forth a bill the second year called HB 1713. This bill started off as a task force bill, but at that time the state didn't have it in their funding. So we had to drop it down to two Washington State's liaisons. They're like missing and murdered indigenous people advocates that work closely with the Washington State Patrol. We had one on the east and west side of the state. And they've been very, very helpful mediating and advocating through the different jurisdictions and the coroner's office with the different police departments to try to get, you know, families to answers. And they were also supposed to come up with some protocols as to what the law enforcement needs to do when taking a report, because, as you know, a lot of the police enforcement, they don't want to take a report. And also the police, or the Washington State Patrol, was supposed to work with these advocates to also get like training as to becoming cultural sensitive, you know, working with Native American families and the tribes, and you know, becoming familiar with our tribal protocols and such. But this year we're releasing another bill, HB 1517. And this bill has a number of steps. This bill started off with like a native Amber Alert here in Washington State. But we decided to separate that part into a different bill, which is also hopefully before Senate here in a few days. But the HB 1571, this bill would direct law enforcement that when they find a missing loved one, that they would get a hold of the family or the tribes, and that the family would be able to pray over their deceased loved one without, you know, interfering with the investigation, and also direct the state patrol or law enforcement to look at the jail roster, because, you know, it could be just a simple step to look at the jail roster to see if their loved one's, you know, in jail rather than, you know, something awful happening. Also, that they're also supposed to work with the coroner's office. The coroners are supposed to send the families letters when they receive, you know, remains about how long they will keep the remains, which is, you know, really vital, because so many times, you know, cases could go on and on and on. You know, I've heard a few times where by the time the family got the remains back, they had to be cremated or they were like unrecognizable. And also to create like educational tools, you know, that the school systems could use for preventative measures, and also funding set aside for like a sex trafficking aftercare center to try to, you know, heal people being sex trafficked, you know, from the experience that they've been through. Also implementing, you know, our indigenous teachings to help heal them, and as well as money set aside for an organization to come up with ways that they could bring more awareness, and also like say a 1-800 number or a logo that people would be able to recognize. So if they are being sex trafficked, that they would be able to, you know, recognize that and call the number, and you know, the FBI or the police could retrieve them.
We're
doing a lot here in Washington State, and it's not only me, and, you know, I call us, you know, team MMIW over here, or MMIP. Yeah, a lot of people ask why my focus is our missing murdered Indigenous women, even though our organization, you know, we have our missing and murdered Indigenous men and our missing and murdered Indigenous Two-Spirits. But my focus has been the women, because I agree, you know, without our women, there'd be no more bloodline. Then the governments could say, you know, hey, you know, you don't have any more people, you know, why do you need reservations? And, you know, I believe that our people, before they came, you know, to our earth, that they made a promise, like a covenant to Creator, that we would be the keepers of our Mother Earth. And, you know, without our women being the caretakers, the nurturers, the teachers of the next generation, you know, because we're the ones that bring up the warriors. And without them, you know, they'll be able to dig up our Mother Earth for her natural resources. So, you know, I've been telling people too, you know, I believe there's an undeclared war against our women, our Indigenous women. And And I also tell people, you know, our women are like at the bottom of the, you know, our so-called totem pole. You know, because we do have the highest statistics of rape and domestic violence. You know, infant mortality. Just a lot of things that surround our women. But being at the bottom, you know, we're able to, you know, try to hold others up. And, you know, when making these bills and talking to these senators and legislators, you know, I let them know, you know, you got to help us tackle our issues. And tackling our issues could create that bubble effect where, you know, even if it's something like health care, if you help us with our health care, it could be better health care for all. Help us find our missing, you know, you could find your missing too.
Okay, we've got another caller that came online, area code 719. Would you like to come on and say your name?
Yeah, my name is Cheryl Little Dog Gallardo. I'm from the Blackfeet Nation.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Jenny, would you like to say something?
Yeah. Listening to what the one that was talking, what's her name?
Earth Feather Sovereign.
Yeah, okay. Hearing what you're saying is very, very true, okay? For me, I see that something was given to our women, okay, here of Turtle Island. And that teaching was given for our women to understand where we're at today. Because if we don't, like you say, yeah, they're going to find a way to get rid of us. But the sad part about it is our own people, our own men are doing, you know, like the white man, you know. And it's getting to the point, if we really truly believe and understand our teaching and the part of the woman, but we're at those times. We are at those times when it's about the women right now. So the times that we're at, when we talk about our teachings and stuff, we're known in this world as other indigenous people that have their own ways of doing things, you know, because we all pray. And what was given to our people, we got to understand it, that without it, we wouldn't know who we are. And that's the ceremony. So the women were given something, and they say it's not all women, but it's a certain type of women, depending on what family you were born into this world of, and which is usually medicine people or holy people. So you'll continue to carry that gift. And so when I look at it, you know, I'm thinking in a spiritual way now, gee, you know, they're trying to get rid of us, you know. Just like when this virus started, you know, Grandma Etta from down in New Mexico, she said she's a spokeswoman for her medicine people down there. And they were saying that the government's, you know, trying to do another human experiment on us. They're still trying to get rid of the old ones that carry the language and the knowledge, the songs, the stories, the history, everything. And when you look at it, you think, well, gee, you think that all of that would have stopped already, you know? And why? It's because, look at, you know, our people are so involved with the white man's ways, they don't even know who they really are anymore. You know, so that's pretty civilized, you know, that what they wanted our people to do, but they forgot that we were created by earth, you know, by the dirt, you know, and we were created to never be destroyed. Now you look at everything that's happening today, you know, and that's because of the turtle, you know, she's a female to us, you know, and the pipe governs Turtle Island. Well, that's why I really encourage our women to, you know, to really wake up and understand it. Our ways are not a bad way. You know, I have people on my reservation, women that talk that way, like the white man, white woman thinking, you know. like we're even devil worshiping. No, there's no such thing to us than the way we do things, you know. Mm-hmm. But that hurts me because that's why I say these kids are lost. They don't know who they really are. They don't know the teaching, which is a beautiful teaching. But once you have the experience with it, you know how real it is, and you don't play with it. Don't play with it. You know, it's not yours to play with, yours to sell, yours to, you know. It's not yours because it was given to the people. And so when I come to that part, I look at it and say, well, look at all these men, how they're abusing it then. These ones that have pipes and what, and they're out there activizing and whatever they're doing. At the same time, they're abusing it. They're selling it. They're getting money from, you know, selling their knowledge or telling stories, and white people are throwing money at them and what, you know. But you look at it, so they're getting on fortune and fame and celebrity and all that. But really, what are they sharing with their people, you know? All, but they're out there sharing all this about us because we're the survivors of the people they're talking about. Hmm? So there's a lot of things that we have to look at. You know, we start talking about tradition and ceremonial and spirituality, and, you know, we got to understand what we're talking about then. And so we can go on about, you know, missing, murdered. We can, all these things, issues and concerns we all have, like my son was talking about. I know he wants feedback about what his experience through the school system, because I too got abused along with my sisters and brothers. And I carry that. That's why I can still talk about it, you know. So I fear for our children, the younger generations, because I see their education is only about, you know, destruction, and their religion is only about death. Hmm? There's nothing about living. Hmm? Surviving and existing continuously without them destroying whatever's left of us, you know. So we have to look at the government system, you know. There's a cause of all of this. We truly are. We either are a part of it, working with them to run the system, to continue, or we become that nation within a nation. We're supposed to be the women. We're supposed to know the laws and protocols of the pipe. Mm-hmm. But I don't hear women really talking about the teaching of Turtle Island. Well, yeah, it's an open discussion wherever you guys want to continue it.
Nicole, are you online? Nicole Wagon? Nicole Wagon.
This is Mark. Can I say something? You know, what my mom has to say is very true. We got our Sundance, and a lot of our ceremonies came from a woman. Everything that a man is, a boy, where we get our traditions, our culture, our morals, comes from our mothers. And where I see where it gets corrupted is the white man's education. You start to lose sight of your kids because once they get indoctrinated into the white man's education is when they start losing themselves. They start losing themselves to the white man's ways, and they start mimicking white men, white women. And I just don't understand why people praise the white man's education so much, like it's going to save them. And it's been proven time and time again that the white man's school of education is not here to benefit us indigenous people. It's to educate us to so high of a plane to where we forget our traditions and our ways. And if you look at it and really see that your kids, my kids, me, we lose our ways once we start going to school. Then we're supposed to praise the white man. Oh, thank you, George Washington. Thank you, Abraham Lincoln, for saving us. But what have they really saved us from? I still don't see it. I don't see anybody. It's just, it's hard to be a man today. I don't think women understand. It's so hard to be a man because we got to be a white man. We have to work very hard because nowadays it's not like our ancestors, you know, to be a man was very virtuous, but today it's only about money. You know how many times I've seen indigenous women acting like white women, throw on a bunch of makeup, show cleavage, call each other the B word and the C word, and then they expect men to what? Appreciate them because they act like white women? I don't see it. The only way we're going to ever do anything is to quit sending our kids to school and actually sit down and teach our kids traditional knowledge, not white man knowledge, because they're not going to teach you anything to better themselves. They're only teaching you enough to where you feel like you know enough to be somewhat educated. This education has been proven that Rockefeller and other organizations, it's only for you to get a job, for you to further the destruction of our Mother Earth, destruction and consumption. That's all education is for. If you really want to go back, quit mimicking white women. And men need to quit mimicking white guys. That's what the problem is. You have drugs and alcohol. That's the big problem. Everybody is in pain. So what do? Drink and do drugs. And that causes what? Physical abuse, mental abuse, rape, killing, indulging in the white man's ways, because that is why we are here at this point. As of today, everything that is wrong in this country, whatever part of the world, is because of drugs, alcohol, and the white man's education. They're not going to teach you how to survive in life. They just want you to work and segregate yourself and separate yourself, because that is the whole agenda and plan. How are we supposed to appreciate and love each other if we're acting like white people?
Does anybody want to comment on that?
This is Earth Feather. A lot of people ask me, you know, why do you work with these, you know, legislators, these governors, these senators? Because, you know, the white man, they haven't really done anything for us but, you know, try to subjugate us and, you know, create genocide on us. And so how can you depend on them? But the main reason I try to work with them is, you know, because in this day and age, you know, we need funding. And getting that funding, it trickles down, you know, from the federal government to the states, even to the federal government, to the tribes. You know, I don't only just work with these state people. I also work with the tribes. But I understand that, you know, we can't depend on them. That's why I also tell people, you know, where it does boil down to is our homes. And, you know, traditionally, most of our indigenous people, we come from matrilineal societies, matriarchal societies, you know, mother clans. And I've been taught that, you know, there's an imbalance in our world. You know, there's the white people came over with their patriarchal teachings and, you know, through the boarding school areas, through adoption and everything. Ugh. We've become disconnected with, you know, our mother teachings. And I do believe, you know, we need to get back to that. And see, myself, I was born, you know, with my father's last name, but I've endured a lot of abuse throughout my life. And so when I divorced this time, I didn't want to go back to, you know, the patriarchal name. So I was able to legally change mine and my children's names, our last names, to Sovereign. And so with that, you know, I'm trying to become that matriarch in my family again, and I'm trying to instill in my sons, you know, to respect women. And if there's any time, you know, maybe soon where I become married, he'll take on my name, and we'll work together on teaching our children, you know, how sacred they are and how sacred, you know, women are, and how sacred our elders are, along with, you know, our teachings that, you know, we're all related, and to respect, you know, nature and our Mother Earth and all living things.
Thank you for sharing.
Yes, I'll open it up for discussion.
This is Jenny.
Jenny, this is Cheryl. Go ahead and go, and then I'll reply after you.
Yeah, what you're talking about is very true. The family I came from were medicine people and holy people. There's a difference, you know. Medicine people are the ones that, you know, learn the medicines and plants, everything.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the ceremonies were given to the women by the animal spirits, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the Okan, we call the Blackfoot Woman ceremony up here, is more about a woman. Huh? And in the teachings, it's when what we call her Feather Woman, Eagle Woman. So there's a story about her, you know, and she went back to the spiritual camp, but she basically brought back the ceremony to the people when she returned back to Earth. And with that, she brought the pipe, you know. So there's a story to the ceremony, but my great-grandma, my dad's grandma, his father's mother, she was one of the original keepers of the ceremony because she walked with knowledge. She didn't need no type of plant or anything to elevate her spirit when she's sharing her knowledge. She was able to heal. She was able to see things before it, you know, happened. So she comes from that teaching that was given, you know, from the beginning where it started at, you know. Up here in the glaciers are creation stories. You know, so we have to keep that, you know, because that's what the children don't understand today about your area, what it really is, you know. When we talk about the women, yeah, the women were the keepers of the camp. They were the ones that told the men what to do. So my last name being Menihais, Agoto Gimme, that was given to my great-grandma's husband, Menihais, you know, Agoto Gimme. Why? Because he was a great hunter back in those days. So the area that I come from, it's one of the original camps that they camped right in that area as they come out of the mountains, but the buffalo brought them out. But my grandpa was one of the ones that would be able to pick the greatest hunters that he knows, you know, amongst the men, and take them back into the mountains to hunt so they can bring back the food for the people, you know, the women and the children and the elders. So that's how he earned that name. So it became a family name when they start enrolling back then. So he went under Menihais, you know, Agoto Gimme. So that become a family name. But there's a lot of history that goes with it. A lot of history that goes with my grandma Sagaki, the one that was one of the original keepers. She was Weasel Tail. She comes from the Weasel Tail family. Her father was one of the blood cross the borderline right there in the blood reserve, the gynae. Huh? So there's a lot of history, you know. You got to understand who you came from and what in their days back, you know, when they were here, what were they doing, you know, as far as their people and what were they caring, still caring, even though they had to hide it out at one time. They had to hide out the ceremony, but the ceremony had to continue to keep going, though. You know, the knowledge had to continue to keep being passed. So I know, you know, it has a lot to do with the woman today. Hmm? It's just that women like us and you and other ones that are listening, it's hard for us to be heard today, you know, and understood. No matter if you're working for, or trying to go talk to your state senator or whatever, whoever, do you think they're really ever going to fully understand you? Hmm? If your own men don't? Hmm? They don't understand that, you know, we're at a time. We're at that time, what those old ones were talking about. Even though we don't want to accept it, but we're there. We're here, you know. A lot of the elders are saying they never thought they would ever live for these days that are here. Hmm? So, yeah, the Lord woman needs to just stay strong and keep praying the way we're praying, you know.
Fuck. Oops.
You know, Jenny, living down here in Colorado, this is Cheryl Little Dog Lardo. Me and Jenny are related. She's my sister in blood, in our ways and in our other way. And it's, you know, she's my cousin. Basically, I am related to her, but she's more like my sister than anything. Living on the reservation, I just moved down here to Colorado with my husband. They banished him on our reservation for life, which is, that's never ever heard of. And basically it rounds around about the year of 2012 when I ran for Black Peach Tribal Business Council. And I made it. And I'm the type of person that, you know, I multitask. I knew my shit. I have my degree. I have my, you know, I have that white man education, but I used it. I used it very wisely. I knew because my parents told me. My dad always told me, you get your education. Because that's one thing the white man cannot take from you, because you use it wisely with your people. And I have, and I've done that. So I've been there and I've done that. I've been through our ceremonies. I'm, you know, my both side of my family's own bundles. My dad, my grandpa, my chief. Little Dog, he owned the Thunder Bundle, and that went down. And my mother's side, she was a Spotted Bear side and everything, and buried my dad, who was a Little Dog. Her mother, that's Spotted Bear. She owned the Beaver Bundle. So there were beaver bracelets in my family. And as things, you know, as I listened, I guess I was the only child in my family that really listened to my parents about our ways and knowing my sisters and brothers got too wrapped up into the white man world. With the 80s and whatever, you know. But they had their choice and they had their chances to always listen, and they never did. You know, they never, you know. And I always was there. I knew. And then my grandma Rosie, from the Mutu Geek Society and the Buffalo Woman Society in Canada come into my life, and I learned a lot of things about the medicine wheel. And she passed it down to me.
Here we go again.
Then she come down and she did ceremony. We did ceremony and everything. We had ceremony. It took a long time. It took a very long time for me to receive that from her, to know those things. You know, there were things that I had to learn and go through and experience in my life, you know, with my dreams and knowing things. And being on the tribal council, you know, I did things in there for my people that nobody has ever done and nobody will ever do again. It was for my people. It was never for me. I ran for them. I never ran for me. I had, you know, six elders come ask me to run it. You know, my dad come ask me to run. And, you know, it was, you know, all something new to me. But when I got in there, I knew what I had to do with that white man education. And I put it to the test and I turned it into our ways. You can use that white man education and turn it into our ways easily. It's been done. And it was done. I did things in there that brought out things that, you know, people didn't like. And that was okay because it was the truth. I did the truth. And that's all I can say. You know, every day I prayed. You know, the Creator, guide me. Guide me where I'm at in this place. It's not a good place, but guide me, and I'm here for a reason and His purpose. That's all I could do every day, and I did that every day at work. I seen the walks of life come in and out of them doors like you wouldn't believe. Right down the street, people I helped.
Well, you look at it now, Cheryl, you know, even though you did all that,
yeah,
it didn't change nothing. It didn't change
it
anything.
It never changed nothing. No, it never changed. And that's where I'm going, because it never changed nothing. You know,
so
it only helped at that time. It only helped at that time, but it never changed nothing. No.
Mm-mm.
Because the people, the ones that were in there were the embezzlers themselves, and right to this day they're still in there. And right to this day there was a lady that supposedly resigned from the Blackfeet tribe that had worked there when you know, there was a lot of chaos going on then, and we gave her the chance. But now she wants to spill the beans to cry wolf like the white man way. But that's okay, you know, because true colors have shown, and they've shown over the years. But people still don't stand up and say, you know, enough is enough, you know, because they're too colonized. They're too colonized. I see it here. I mean, fast life, living here in Colorado, man, my husband has to work even on the weekends to make us to have a life here.
Well, nowadays
everybody's on social media.
They're all doing it on social media. But
yeah,
when we get out there, and we were down at that office, it took four women to bring out the chairman and, you know, his little workers, you know, Minnow and Mark Pollock. They thought I was there for this money, that $800 that they, you know, come up with, giving us, you know, to people or what, you know. But I wasn't there for that. And, you know, people say, oh, we're scared of them. No, I'm not scared of them. It has nothing to do with that.
You got to know what the hell you're talking about.
You know? When you go
never should be scared of them, because that's the people's building. That's about the people, not them nine members in there. It never was. and never will be about them, but they make it about them because they get too greedy. They see all that money. They see all that white man way of Washington, D.C., the state of Montana. You know, I mean, they kiss ass. The Blackfeet Tribal Business Council kiss ass.
With all that going on, you know, a lot of our people are, you know, understanding, you know, what's happening and what. With all that going on, what stopped our people from connecting to other tribes of people to, you know, blame it on the system? Why are we never really blaming it? You know, we're talking about it, but we're in a white man paper world.
It's not about blaming because it's already done. You never can go back. We always have to move forward and look for the goodness of what is there right now and still fight. Because you know what? Even though people are not understanding and they're living this fast life or trying to live this fast life on the reservations and live that colonized life of, you know, no, that ain't the way we were brought up. Uh-uh. But that's all lost because of all the generations and all the mothers and the fathers that are growing up now with these children that are doing crazy things in life. You know, they were colonized. They didn't listen to, like, my sisters and my brothers. They didn't listen to my parents. They didn't listen to them ways like I did. And I'm the baby of the family. I took care of my mother and my father. I took care of my brothers and sisters. Because I was educated. The educated one always takes care of everyone. I noticed that on the reservations. But that's okay.
You know, I listen to my grandparents.
Because we're nurturers. We're nurturers. That's what we are.
I listen to my grandpa up at Doofy. You know, he used to always say that town never supposed to have been built there, never supposed to have been put there. And I said, well, I always wonder why he, you know, what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then after you learn who Browning is, you know, the name Browning, and then after you understand what he was talking about, you look at it because that was a Sundance camp.
Mm-hmm.
And they built
a Sundance camp
where it don't belong. That's what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's why all the ugly stuff going on there, you know?
Yeah.
Not supposed to
and
be the, there.
Where the, exactly. And that's where that powwow grounds is. That powwow grounds is a sacred place. I know that because my dad used to belong to the Black Horse Society, and he had to ride from up from to medicine all the way to the powwow ground, horseback. With 100 willows. He could not drop one willow.
Yeah. Is there anybody else on the line, Bernice?
We have a lady from area code 206. You want to come on and say your name?
Dos, Nanana, Nahase, Hise, Na, Anaga, Nananana, Na, Chupish. Hi, everybody. So sorry I'm late. My name is Chelsea Hendrickson. I'm Northern Rapo from Isati, Wyoming, the Wind River Rez, and I'm also Chupik from Nunavak Island, Alaska, and a Chalista Corporation shareholder. I'm just calling in today to show my support, not only for the MMRW family members who are calling in, but also for my Auntie Bernice, who's hosting the show. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Chinupa, you want to come on?
Yes, let me jump in here and help you women out. Listen, this is Chinupa again, okay? Been a long time that I've been on your show because I'm still doing the independent work here out in Indian country. So here I'm hearing this young lady from Colorado. I'm listening to her. And then I'm listening to Jenny from up there in Montana country. And then I hear, you know, all of this understanding. Look, I'm going to tell all of you once and for all, if you don't have a blame in how you pursue the virtues of what belongs. Look, let's just put it this way. Language-speaking people are your key to the future. English ain't going to get you to the future. We're living in a white man's world, the time. So what Miss Jenny is talking about is true. See, the hard part is that we're afraid to protect our own. We're afraid to do that because we got too much ideology of how Western culture epitomized the system. So let's put it in this context. If white buffalo calf maiden showed up in Denver, Colorado and said, hey, little girl, what have you done to serve me? You know what the answer is going to be? Nothing, because you didn't serve her. So here, if he comes, she comes over here to South Dakota and meets all the traditional people because we're still struggling to remain with our sacred pipe, we're going to have to answer to the teller, we're still struggling. We're still struggling because we don't have the answer. We forgot about your teachings because of Western culture. Makes sense? Yes, it does. Now, because our women, you women, you guys are mine. I don't care what you say. You are. You're indigenous. Once and for all, get that in your heart. The problem is we don't want to blame them. You have to. If it wasn't for the white culture, we wouldn't be in this predicament. But we're afraid to blame him. No, you have to. The great mystery will still protect you and serve you. So would Mother Earth, and so all the winged creatures and all the four-legged. They will, because look at it. I know what Colorado is. Colorado is no different than Washington, D.C., better known as the District of Columbia. There's marijuana every day circulating on the streets. And our people become a victim with it, all right? So now the reservations are epitomizing that same thing. So, yes, that fault belongs to the white man, the enemy. He's done this. He's done it with alcohol. He's done it with all his illegal convicted people. Half of them came to here on the Pinta, the Mina, and the Santa Maria, and them other drunks on the Mayflower. And then the other three ended up down in Australia. See, know the real history before you can circumvent. But nobody wants to do that. But I'll say it. My phone number is 605-517-2621. You want to bump heads about that shit? Let's go. I'll challenge you. I take full responsibility of my actions. You women need to really focus on what is happening today. There are children, scores of our women, young girls coming up missing. Why is that? Because the white man created this. He's been making our people disappear from day one. Now other cultures, people are doing the same thing. The hard part is we don't want to blame him. We have to. So I agree with Miss Jenny. I agree with her because that's where you have to. If you don't circumvent, why talk? We have learned the English talking for so long in their language, we're forgetting to put the emphasis on them. Right or wrong, that's right. And here's what I'm going to say on the closing part of it. All right, this is what I'm going to say. If you take a look at your monetary existence, okay, your dollar bill, your money, coin, whatever it is, take a look at it and see it says in God we trust, okay? So you mean, white man, you're going to convince me to think that God believes in money? God didn't create that money. The white man put that name on there because of all them bandits that were stealing, robbing trades, you know, stagecoaches and trains and taking all that wealth from them. The white man did that, okay? He's the one that created that, so he stamped it in God we trust on the money today. And look at it. That guy's responsible. God ain't, okay, if the great mystery believed in money, he'd be man making money fall out of the sky like hail and rain. Make sense? Hell yeah. So that stamp in God we trust was created in 1864. And that hard part is we're all ingrained in it, sad but true. And so you women, I love your show. I love that you guys are continuing. Don't forget, women out there that are educated put their children in jail. They abuse their children by buying them material. That's what happens here. And you don't want to blame the white man? Hell yeah, you have to. Look with all the removal of our kids and our elders in nursing homes that they put them in to kill them. The American culture and the American way of life is heinous. And until you outline that and blame them, we're never going to have our place in society. We never will. And it's always going to be women going at it the same way men go at it to try to make a better future for our own existence. Back to you, Sister Bernice, and the rest of you. Love you guys for keeping the show going. Thank you for allowing me to come on and share that. And you women, put your differences away. If you're traditional, act like it. Thank you. Much love to you all.
We have area code 503 coming on.
This is Cheryl. This is Cheryl.
I'm here. It's Lisa from Washington.
Uh-huh.
I just had to come in with all the stuff. But, you know, again, you know me. I always have to argue with something, jokes though. But, you know, I agree with a lot that Shnupa said. But the thing is we can keep blaming the white men or we can rise above them.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
The more we keep blaming, it's like us with the women doing all this crazy stuff. We're going against each other for stupid reasons. But we also got to think about it. You know, we can't change hundreds of years ago right now. But what we
right.
can change is we can change our ways about it. We can rise above.
Yes. Yes.
We can't keep
right.
blaming white men for everything, because if we keep doing that, we're going to stay underneath them.
Right. Right.
And so that's
and
my biggest thing
with
right
that.
Now. You know, regardless of what we do, we have to rise above them. We,
no,
you know,
no,
nothing's
going
to change. The white men are here.
Yeah.
The black men are here. Every other color's here. You know, sometimes we even have purple. You know,
right.
I come from Portland. We have purple people. You know?
Right.
So, you know what I mean? Like, so we can't keep saying that. We got to just rise above them. We got to bring ourselves above, like I said before. You know, and yes, I agree. You know, money, we can't take that with us when we go. Vehicles,
no.
we can't
no.
take any of that with us. But we can take our knowledge. We can take our prayers. We can take our memories.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we can't keep blaming white people for everything, because their ancestors did this to our ancestors. Yes, there's some that are still ignorant fucks that don't want to do anything for us. They think we're nothing but just a statistic. You know,
they
we could be swept under the rug and nothing to anybody,
to blame,
but the more we blame, the more we stay underneath.
Right, right, right. And they've taught us, Lisa, to blame one another and point at one another and judge one another.
And that's
and
exactly
not be
what
positive.
We're doing.
And they don't want us
yep.
to be positive. They want us to be down mm-hmm. all the time.
You know, and then you put us on a reservation to kill each other off. What are we doing? We're killing each other off.
Right.
You know, no white man came and took Ashley and killed her. It was our own people for jealousy.
Right.
Nobody came and no white man came in and took Matthew and killed him and left him in a field. It was our own people.
Own people. Yep.
Yep. Nobody came in and took Leo.
Nope.
It was the same people who killed Ashley from our
it
reservation.
Was. Yes.
You know,
exactly.
with Arden. The same person
open,
was from our reservation. Our own people
eyes.
Let him go.
Yes, exactly. Open their eyes. Open your eyes.
You know, so I do blame our men, because our men should stand up. If they really believe it's our white man, then fucking stand up and protect us again. You know, be the providers, be the protectors.
Yeah.
Not saying that we're going to sit on our asses because we do our part, but right now it's the women standing up. We know that there's people missing. But I don't see
yeah.
no men. I seen Art McConville stand with me. You know, he was one who stood tall with me and even held the
mm-hmm.
posters with me. But nobody
mm-hmm.
listened to us, but he was there for me. He protected me. I felt like I was 10 feet tall and bulletproof because I had one of our Native men standing right next to me.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have that. We have to stand by each other. What, baby?
Yeah.
Yes, you can, love. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, we got to stop doing this. We got to stop blaming everybody else, because we got to take responsibility for our shit, for what's going on our reservation.
Thank you, Lisa.
This is Earth Feather again. I just wanted to say
that. Oh, sister. I didn't even know it was you.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say
the voice sounded familiar.
You know, our women, this is the time of the woman. Because, you know, what we also found out there in Standing Rock is that, you know, there was all these men that wanted to stand up and try to be protectors, try to be warriors, you know, try to give these white people a piece of their medicine, you know, wanted to bring out their guns and even blow up stuff. But, you know, it was our women that said, okay, but, you know, this is bigger. This is bigger than what we see here. You know, this is spiritual warfare. And, you know, our women, we understand that what happens in the spirit realm happens there first, then it happens in this realm. That's why it is so important for us to go back to our cultural teachings, to our prayers, to our ceremonies, because when we pray about it, it happens in the spirit realm first, and then it happens here, and then it manifests. And that's one thing, you know, a lot of our men and a lot of people don't understand. And, you know, our women, you know, we're blessed with being nurturers and caretakers and most of all using our power of love.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, only violence creates more violence. But when we bring our love forward, where we're able to talk to people and calm down and talk to them in a way that they understand with our loving, nurturing self, and that's when change happens.
Yep.
So hopefully,
you can't fight fire with fire.
Right.
Right. So that's how our women are so different from our men. Even though, you know, I know that men are capable of love.
Yeah, but they're taught early not to show it, and that comes from the white men.
You know,
so it's not the women following everything because, you know, I remember being told, you know, my brothers being told, don't you cry. I'll give you something to cry about. Bullshit.
Exactly.
You cry.
Yes.
You show
the
love because, you know what, that makes you stronger.
Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Hello? Is Chinupa married? Does Chinupa have a woman? Is he single? What's going on with Chinupa? He's claiming all this and other. I'm just random side note. I'm just curious. Chinupa?
What?
You married? You got a wife? No.
Well, Chinupa usually says his words when he gets off.
I guess we know why.
Hello? Can I answer
Silent.
That question?
Oh, he's speaking now.
Can you guys hear
Anyways,
me?
I'm sorry to interrupt you, ladies. Go ahead, carry on.
Does that question even matter, or what's going on with that?
I just, you know, I was a little offended by half the stuff he said, you know, this and the other. I just was like, well, does he even have a wife to be talking about, where, you know, property and own, you know, I mean, unless I took it the wrong way, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, he does. Let me let you know that he does, okay? But I also
Jenny, are you his Ms. or his wife? I'm sorry. Excuse me.
I don't
wife.
Have to
I'm
answer
sorry.
That.
Was no, that was not with disrespect. That was no disrespect. I was just
yeah. I don't need to answer that right now. But what I want to ask you, women, can I ask a question here? What I want to ask you, women, is we have all this so much knowledge and stories to share and what to each other today, right now. So why is it so hard for us to really look at it? And, yeah, we don't want to blame the white men for everything. We always hear that, okay? We always hear that. I hear that all the time, you know? But what I'm saying is if we're paying attention to what's going on in Canada, missing, murder, Indigenous woman, all this awareness first started up there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they call genocide on their government up there. So I'm looking at on this side, you know, if we want to put our difference aside and really look at it, what's stopping us from calling genocide on the United States of America? Huh? Because
there's nothing
you have
stopping
to,
us.
You have,
but
if we're talking about history, because we're all talking history right now. Huh? Right? Anything and everything that we're doing today is history. Huh? Because they're all watching us. Social media is watching everything that's taken place, reading about it, everything. So I always say to the Blackfeet people, the whole world's watching us right now. What part of it are you going to be involved with when we talk about history? Hmm? Because we're living history. But I want to know that question. Are you guys really looking at that part? You know, we have to do something to have that voice in this world, you know? So it's bigger, like you were saying, the Standing Rock, it was bigger than that. I know that it was bigger than that, because where were all those people that showed up there, where were they before that? Okay? So, you know, it brought a lot of awareness to the world. Let them know that we're still here. Hmm? Because a lot of people in different countries thought we were all gone. It's the same way the white people treat us today. They look at us like we're all gone, like when we walk in the store, like, you just come out of the grave. You get that feeling from them, okay? So,
you know, Jenny,
that's what I
no
ask.
Disrespect,
what do
you know I love you. But the thing is that's what you answered your own question, because our people don't keep standing. They sit down when they feel like it's too hard, because that's what we were taught. We were taught to just sit down and see, and now people want to stand up, but they don't encourage each other. Like Shanupa, when he gets on here, he usually yells and puts us down. He says that we're not doing the right thing. And the bad thing about that is, like I told you before, when he come on here and said we got to speak our language, he said, you guys got to speak your language. He speaks a language I don't understand. He has to understand, too, that we speak different languages. If you want people to understand, you have to teach people. You can't just yell something in somebody's face and expect them to understand, you know? And that's the thing is, like, you answered your own because, like, we, you know, and I love you, Jenny. You're, like, my mama and everything, you know? But the thing is, like, when he says stuff like that, we have to understand that, yeah, we can't, yes, a lot of it has to deal with the white people. We go through a lot. We still get called prairie niggers in Montana. We still get called names. My boy had a football game, and here they wrote prairie nigger on some of the cars. They were calling them that on the field, you know? And it's still going to happen because we let it happen. That's why I'm saying, like, if we want to do anything, we have to rise above. But we can't have people like Shanupa running down the women saying, well, you women got to understand it's the white men. Okay, well, why don't you take fault for being the man who's not standing with us? Because I didn't see Shanupa or any other men when we were marching. And Earthfeather knows this. We were in D.C. You know, we were out in different places. Nobody stood next to us. There was no men. The only man that was with us was Matthew Grant's poster.
Wow.
Because nobody else wanted to be there. They didn't even want Matthew Grant's picture there. But you know what? The only person who never denied that was, you know, two of the people that we marched with before. And that's the thing is that people think that we're blaming everybody. We're not. We're trying to get our people to rise above.
Lisa, you're breaking up really bad.
Yeah, it's probably because I'm really mad. I'm really shaking. Yeah,
I know. But your phone's really echoey. It's really echoey.
Is it really? Hold on. Let me go grab my headphones. Let me grab my stuff. Because I usually have headphones on while I'm doing this. You know, on here. But anyway, can you guys hear me better?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, so what I'm saying is
they probably fixed it. So.
Okay. Yeah. You know, with everything that's happening, we can't have somebody running us down. And like I said before, he did this before to us. He says what he says, ignorant or not, and he says, I don't care what you ladies think. You know, or what anybody thinks, or if anybody gets offended, and then he just shuts off. Okay, well, then what the hell did you mean? Like, what are you trying to teach us besides running us down and saying, I don't care if you're offended, but I'm just going to get off here now?
Yeah.
You know, that end, it's like me saying, all you guys are doing wrong. Okay, bye.
Exactly.
You know?
You know, that's exactly. And then I get cut off when I'm talking and didn't get to finish explaining exactly what you're talking about I wanted to say, you know, too. So I got cut off, and that's ignorance.
Yes, it's ignorance. I don't follow ignorance. You can't, sugar.
So that ignorance
women
taught by the white man. That
ignorance
is taught by the white man.
You know, I got cut off a few times, too.
Can you women hear Shanupa?
Listen.
Hello?
No, we're trying to give everybody else a chance to call, that's calling in on the line. That's it wasn't ignorance or nothing. You know, everybody wants to think it's ignorant. So this is a radio show. We're not. No, I want
the radio
women on here.
Who's running the radio show?
Let me get on this show here real quick. Okay,
so
let me ask you these women. Can you hear me?
No, I don't want to listen to this.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes. You're on.
Can anyone hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, listen. Let me. Okay, you little girls, listen. And I'm going to call you little girls. I gave you guys my numbers to call me. Listen, real carefully. Listen, because you guys have white education. You have white language. I don't care if you're calling me ignorant. I've been called that all my life. Okay, so listen, little girl. Listen. Listen.
Listen,
little girl. Listen. Little girls, listen. Listen, little girls. Listen, little girls, okay?
Every time you talk.
Real carefully, and I'll tell you why, okay?
You just give me a few minutes,
and I'll teach you. No,
you
I'm not going to argue with you because I'm not your husband. I'm not your father. I'm not your grandfather. I'm not your uncle. I'm none of that, okay? So you guys live in the city. Listen, no, you just sucked him up as a little girl. Shut it for a change. You don't know discipline. You weren't raised by elders. You weren't raised by culture. Now listen,
carefully. Like you.
No, you just be quiet as a young girl and run your mouth at another time. But right now I'm going to correct you on something.
My face because you know what? If I was there, I would tell you something.
Listen to this.
Because
you guys are going to
ruin this show. I was raised by Bernie. They weren't like you.
No, you weren't raised by nobody. You're lying. You're lying because otherwise you'd be up there helping your people. Don't be lying. Enough of that. Listen carefully.
I do help my people.
Listen to the girl. Listen carefully.
I don't fucking see you there.
Listen, even you and Sharon. Just listen briefly, and I'll tell you why.
No one wants to hear your spewing.
Listen, okay? This radio show was given to women so they can have a voice. But you ramble on because you're not making the reality happen.
You're uplifting women. No, you're not.
Here's a young lady. I don't care about D.C. I've been there many times, okay? Here's a young lady saying, where's all the men? Wait a minute.
Don't you care about
Snoopa? Wait a minute. There are men out here, like myself included, still doing the work for our poor people. Okay? We're still cutting wood, hunting. No, shut up and listen now.
That don't have
shut up and listen for a change, woman or little girl. Shut